For the Son of Man is coming when you least expect. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Advent. It is the first Sunday of this season of joyful anticipation. For something wonderful is about to happen. Something awesome. Something that changes everything and fulfills the deepest desires that we do not dare name and articulate to ourselves. And at the beginning of this season of Advent, Jesus speaks to us a disturbing and startling gospel. We are waiting for Jesus to come, and now he's talking about coming back. And we are here at the beginning of a season of kindly generosity, and yet he's talking about floods and larceny. We are waiting for good news, and what we have is a reminder that what is coming is disruptive, will make us uncomfortable, and will demand something of us. For Jesus is telling us that what is coming is not what we expect, and we are likely to miss it. And we had better get ready, because God is going to rob you. A few years ago, I was flying from Austin to Chicago, and I was seated next to a big guy in work denim and a cap and a bushy black beard and boots. And on his tray top were three empty vodka bottles, and we hadn't left the gate. And I thought, I need to find something to read. And I started rummaging in my backpack, and all of a sudden I heard this voice very distinctly say, "This man is saying something, and you're the only one who hears him, and you're going to ignore him for 2 hours? What is coming is not what you expect. You are likely to miss it, and get ready, because God is going to rob you." What is coming is not what we expect. And Jesus says it four times in this passage. It is not what you are expecting. The Son of Man is coming when you least expect. No one knows. The people in Noah's days, they were marrying and giving in marriage, and they had no idea what was happening. Jesus makes very clear that it is not what we expect. And it is very different from the wider world's perception of this season, which for many of us is about getting something off of our wish list. Santa is going to come down the chimney and leave something that we want. But what is coming has nothing to do with what we want. And it has nothing to do with what we've been hoping for. And it has very little to do with anything that we imagine, because God is doing something. And what God is doing is something that is glorious and the fulfillment of God's purposes that we cannot imagine. This speech that we hear from Jesus this morning is the beginning of a longer passage, his final address in the Gospel of Matthew, that culminates in his vision of the final judgment on the last day. And do you remember what that is? The sheep are separated from the goats. And what Jesus says, that I was there in the eyes of the people in need. Those of you who are invited into eternal bliss are those who saw me in those who were hungry and naked and in prison and sick. And the others object, "But Lord, we never saw you." And he says, "Yes, but in so much as you saw me in the least of these, you were present when I was present." That, my friends, is the Messiah that's coming. That is where Jesus is. That really is all we have to look forward to. And yet, it is how God fulfills God's glorious purpose in the redemption of the world and the reconciliation of us to each other and to God in new creation. I had no idea what to say to the guy on the plane. I just looked at him, I looked at the bottles, and then I just blurted out, "Flying is scary." And he looked at me like, "Huh?" And then like, "Who are you?" And then he said, "Yeah." And I said, what are you scared of? And he said, I'm scared my kids are growing up without me. I said, tell me about your kids. And he told me about the 8-year-old dancer and the 6-year-old t-ball player and the new baby. And I said, you love those children. He said, my father left when I was 10 and I don't want that to happen to them. I said, why would that happen? He said, I go to North Dakota for 2 weeks at a time and I think my wife has met someone else. I said, I'm sorry. He said, oil is a dirty business. Second, Jesus makes very clear in this passage that what is coming, as glorious as it is something that we are very likely to miss. It's something that we don't see because we are too busy ignoring it. Jesus is showing up in unexpected forms in the lives and needs and situations of people who are vulnerable, people through whom God is trying to love us. But we have trouble seeing because there are very few defenses that we have sharpened so carefully as those against our own vulnerability. Jesus says, you are likely to miss it. It is something that you will not see because you are so carefully defended. The word for compassion in Greek is a word that implies gut pain, the twisting of the guts in response to our sympathy with the situation and needs of other people. And yet that compassion is a spirit through which God works to redeem us and to liberate energy for redeeming the world, and yet we don't want to feel it. And so we become insulated and anesthetized with all the stuff that distracts us from seeing what God is trying to offer in the lives of those that are God's messengers. There's a lot of research now to suggest that people who have power are low on empathy. People who have a lot of money find it harder to identify with the feelings of other people. And I think from my own experience that that's probably because whatever we depend on, we don't want anything to threaten that. And if I see too closely the need of another person, and I feel the stirring in my guts of compassion, who knows what that might cost me, what I might let go of, what I might not any longer be able to lean reliably on to distract me from God's knocking at the door. Jesus is saying to us in this passage, if God were coming to you, the one who made all this and sustains it, if that creator were coming to you in love, offering you the fulfillment of your purpose, holy divine fellowship, if God were coming and speaking to you, would you be able to hear it? Or are we so shrouded about in our own concerns that people no longer surprise us? We are too comfortable with our judgments that we no longer see anything that disrupts our own narrow path to our own sense of security and well-being. If God had a message for you, a glorious, joyful, liberating message, would you even be able to hear it? The man told me about how their boss was cheating them, about how difficult and dangerous their work was. And then at one point, he pulled himself up in his chair and looked right at me and said, I don't believe in global warming. And I said, no, you don't. And then he relaxed. And then I relaxed. And he said, my friend was killed in the oil field. I said, tell me about him. And he described a man that he obviously admired and loved. Jesus has a third message for us. And that is, he is coming like a thief in the night. And I find that to be a very disturbing image, rather out of place for the first Sunday in Advent. But if you think about it, perhaps it's good news after all. Because the things that I use to protect myself from God, my resistance to the coming of the kingdom of heaven, I don't expect that I'm going to give that up willingly. I don't expect that when God comes to me with an invitation for the freedom in Jesus Christ that connects me to what God is doing in the world, I don't expect that I'm going to go along without kicking and screaming. And Jesus is telling us in this passage, in a way that is quite generous and hopeful, that we don't have to worry about it, because God is going to rip it out of our house. All of our defenses are going to be overcome, gradually or suddenly. In some way, the presence of the way of love, the Messiah that we experience in Jesus, in the body of Christ, when we are closest to God's Spirit, overcomes these defenses and steals these things right out of our house. And like you might have experienced, if your house were ever robbed or you went over to a friend's house who had just been broken into, suddenly everything's different. All the stuff that we thought was contained and nailed down, and suddenly we're walking through a space that's been made weirdly new, waiting for something different to happen. God is going to rob you, and that may be the best thing that happens to any of us. As we were descending into Chicago, the man said one more time, "Oil is a dirty business." And I asked him, "What are we going to do about all that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere?" And he said, "I don't know, but we have to figure it out." And then we landed, and I reached up to get my bag, and this man, without warning and without permission, hugged me and said, "Thank you. That helped." And I said, "Yeah, that helped." And I went out and I sat at the gate and cried. And then I went to work. And I don't know that I have ever felt closer to God. Advent is about God surprising us. And Martin Luther King said that the fact that we sleep through these periods of social change is one of the great liabilities of history for the church. But I think, even more to the point, Advent is a moment where we can bring to life, in the ordinary moments of daily living, a willingness to see what we're ignoring, a willingness to let God rob us a little. The people in Matthew's day were wondering where Jesus was. He hadn't come back as quickly as they expected. And this is the story that they were offered in the letter that circulated in their community. "Those of you who have grown apathetic, that are just getting on with business as usual, drinking, eating, marrying, giving in marriage. And those of you who have decided that you need a more exciting story, that you're the elect now and other people, you can judge them because Jesus is going to be coming back with some kind of violence. Well, here's another way of thinking about it. Advent is the moment when Jesus appears in our life to offer us the connection with God in others that redeems, sustains, and liberates us. I think that that is a hopeful word for us this Advent. And I would offer you the promise that if you will pay attention to what you're ignoring, if you will hold a little looser with what you think you can't do without, that perhaps God will rob us of the things we don't need, the things we depend on, and prepare us for the joy that is coming, the joy that is on the other side of trouble, and that is what our heart most truly desires. Thanks be to God.